1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now, in this chapter, what's going on is that David is running from Saul, king of Israel. Saul's in this demon-possessed rage right now. The one man who was hired to play the harp when this evil spirit came on Saul and gave him trouble, the one man hired to play the harp to get that spirit to depart from him, he's now running from his life. So that spirit is with Saul, and so it's just he's in this demon-possessed rage right now, and he's out to kill David. He gets in his mind, his heart, that Ahimelech, the house of Ahimelech, helped David against Saul, that they're in conspiracy against Saul together with David. But that wasn't true. They did in ignorance. They did in just innocency. They helped David out. But the whole house of Ahimelech is called up to Saul to give an account of what happened. They tell the truth, but Saul, he's like I said, he's just going crazy. And so he has the entire priestly house killed. The priests, their wives, their children, he even slays their cattle. That's how crazy Saul's going right now. But one man escapes with his life, Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech. He comes down to David. He's in the hold there with some other men, a couple hundred other men. And in 1 Samuel chapter 22, look at verse 22. The Bible says, "And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Father, please bless this time of preaching, Lord, these folks who are faithful enough to come out, Lord, to hear the words of God preached. I just pray, Lord, you would fill me with your spirit, Lord, and just give me the words to say, Lord. I pray you deal personally with these people, Lord, in their personal lives, in this area of witnessing, Father, and being bold for you. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. But notice that in verse 23, it says, fear not. Fear not. I heard one preacher say at one time that that expression, fear not, or its variant, is found 365 times in the Bible. No, I did not look it up. I went off of his information. But that's very fitting. 365 times in this Bible, kind of like 365 days of the year, the Lord's saying, fear not, fear not, fear not. With how much time the Lord spends on talking about fear, I guess that shows that we're a very fearful people. But he wouldn't have you to be fearful. The sermon's title, Are You Scared? I'm going to be asking you that question numerous times. Are you scared? But I figure that's a pretty good question to ask. And, of course, especially in view of what the Bible, how it treats fear. But this, actually, the sermon was coined one day, the title of the sermon anyway. I was at a dentist's office there before I started deputation. It was late 2010. Went to the office there, and there was a dentist questionnaire. A questionnaire, you know, in medical offices is usually pretty standard. For me, anyway, you just answer no to pretty much everything. You have this, that, and the other thing. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And I get to a question that just stopped me. It says, do you have nightmares? And I said, what? Kind of an odd question. No. Next question, are you scared? And I just started laughing, and the guy in the waiting room goes, oh, well, what's wrong? I'm like, well, they just asked me if I'm scared. It's just, and I realized, well, maybe that's a good question to ask. I mean, I didn't come here for a foot massage. But are you scared? Now, David is a good picture of Jesus Christ. That is, a lot of different reasons in this Old Testament you can find that David pictures Jesus Christ. A lot of different particulars. I'm not going to go through them all, but he does. He pictures Jesus Christ, our Savior. He tells Abiathar, abide thou with me, fear not. He says, with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now, Christian, firstly, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear your soul, where it's going to go, if you're saved. If you're saved here tonight, you got to rest in the fact that Jesus Christ, his blood was good enough. You know, really, dealing with people, it's amazing how they believe in hell, how they believe in heaven. But then they say, but you can't be sure whether you're going to heaven or hell. You just can't know. Nobody can know. You understand the information you get about hell comes from this Bible. The information you get about heaven comes from this Bible. What makes you think the information about how to get out of hell and into heaven comes from any other place besides this Bible? But the blood of Jesus Christ was shed over, well, about 2,000 years ago. You understand you weren't around when the Son of God was slain for sinners. His blood was shed and it was just bled out before you even showed up. Are you so important that when you show up that things just change now? Things were settled. It is finished well before you showed up. Jesus Christ's blood availed for everybody. This Bible, that he can cleanse any sinner, the vilest of sinners. I remember I was street preaching one time. It was great street preaching, you know, and it was in between lights. It was a green light, and so I'm just holding my Bible up. A lady comes up, about to turn right. She says, "You make me sick." I go, "You mean you think I'm vile?" "Yeah, that's right." Well, Jesus Christ's blood can make the vilest sinner clean. If I'm the vilest, I'm glad I'm clean. You see, that's the situation. You got to rest your soul on this book. You believe it's true? God is not a man that he should lie? If you've come to that point, then you should be sure in yourself. You're saved. You're going to heaven when you die if you've been born again. You shouldn't fear where you're going. With him, you're in safeguard. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You shall not come into condemnation, but are passed from death unto life." That's what he said. God, when he speaks in this book, it's a promise. You see, the Bible says God could swear by nobody or nothing that was greater, so he just said, and then he starts saying some things. That's the way he promises. A man, he's got to swear by something, the temple, by heaven, by God, something, because he's not too great himself. He's got to swear by something greater. God, he's the greatest. He's the Most High. So he speaks, "Thou shalt not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So I had to rest my soul in this book. And you know, you're going to go out to this world and witness. You're going to go out to this world and be a light bearer. And that's what I'm really preaching on here, witnessing. You know, you're a light bearer. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is within you. Your job is to shed some of that light out to people. He said, "I'm not called to be a preacher, a pastor, or whatever." You're a Christian. You're called to be a light bearer. Let your light so shine before men. That is who you are. That is what you are, a light bearer. And when you go out to this world and you tell them, "Look, I know where I'm going when I die. I'm sure of it. I'm not afraid of it one little bit there. I know I'm going when I die. It's heaven. I'm not going to hell. Jesus Christ's blood was good enough." They're going to think you're arrogant. They're going to think you're arrogant. I've had that before. You think you know where you're going, and I don't. I mean, come on. Were you better than I am? You see, if you're lost here tonight, that's the way you should feel, nervous. Because really, don't get mad at me because I know where I'm going. You're just nervous because you may be going to hell. You're not really sure where you're going. But people are going to find you or think of you as arrogant because you're so confident to say that. But in Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, the Bible says. You shouldn't fear your soul where it's going to go when you die, Christian. Now, also, you shouldn't fear your physical life. You shouldn't. The Lord, I found, it's funny with the Lord. The Lord has verses in that Bible which are hard to stomach for a man. "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Isn't that kind of hard to stomach for somebody, if you think about it? Isn't your first reaction when you get, you know, "Hey, surprise," is just to be scared? Right? Just to be scared? I mean, that's how we are. But he keeps saying, "Fear not, fear not. Fear not." We're going to engage into a battle. If you haven't already, there's a battle and there's a war raging right now. When you go out to this battle there, you shouldn't expect the other side to lay down their arms and rump the white flag and to say, "Okay, we quit." When you step onto the battlefield, you need to be expecting them to shoot bullets. That's the mindset you should have. It really is a battle. But the Lord says, "Fear not." You know, I had to come to terms with something. Some scary things the Lord has put me through, or at least he tested me on there when it came to, you know, my personal safety. You know, I had to come to a conclusion there. I'm not going to die any sooner if I do what the Lord wants me to do. Let's say I stay home. Am I going to live any longer because I didn't go out there and put myself in harm's way just to give the gospel? You shouldn't fear your physical life. With Christ, you're in safeguard. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 23. The Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Somebody needs to be saved. "And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Up pops trouble. They're afraid. "We be afraid here." He says, David, what business do we have entangling ourselves with another army? We're already running from ours. We'd be afraid. Are you scared? Now, like I said, the Lord has a lot to say about fear, and whenever I look at it, it always seems to be the same thing. Besides fearing God, and you should fear Him, He wouldn't have you to fear anything else. I mean, trembling in your boots, cause you to pretty much stop doing what He would have you to do and do your own thing. You understand, if any man who's gone out to witness and preach there, he's been in a nervous situation. I was down there in Fort Walton Beach one time, and, you know, I was testing my resolve that night, the Lord was. I was down there. It took an hour to drive there to preach there. I was with another man. He said that, you know, we haven't preached in Fort Walton for an entire year. The hurricane came through there. Hurricane Ivan wiped it out, and so he just laid off there for a year. He used to go every other Saturday. But that year, that day, we went down there, the first time in a year. I joined up with him, went down there, and we started preaching there. And he was preaching. I was just passing tracks, waiting for my turn. And some guy just comes running at me from a certain direction I didn't even see, but he comes running at me. And he comes to me. He's a younger fellow, and maybe he's 20, 21, and stopped on a dime. And says, hey, look, man, hey, you got to leave. You got to get out of here, man. I said, what's the problem? You're going to die, man. These guys back here, they're going to shoot you, man. I overheard them. They're going to shoot you, man. They're going to come. You got to go right now. I said, well, we came here to preach. You don't understand. You're going to die. I said, look, we came here an hour to preach. Do what you got to do. We're going to do what we have to do. And then it was my turn. I got up there and started preaching. And this man was, I don't know, about 5 feet from me, on his knees before me, on the ground, holding his chest, screaming, please, I'm preaching! Please, I'm preaching! I'm like, what is wrong with this fella? I found out later what the problem was. A little while we were preaching there, we met some more people. There were two strip clubs right across the street from each other. They opened up in the interim that we had been gone from Fort Walton Beach from preaching. Business was booming again. Later on, I met this man's girlfriend. She walked out of the strip joint. Found out later this kid was, quote-unquote, a Christian. He'd grown up in a Christian home, got wayward, out of church, hanging around with the wrong girl. And he said to himself, I can't handle a preacher out there. I've got to get him to go away. Had a bad conscience. I learned something that night, though. What if I had gone because of some idle report because I'm a kid with a bad conscience? Think about that. I'm glad I stayed. I mean, heck, I mean, look, think about it. What's to say I take a bullet in the head for preaching on the street, preaching out in the open, preaching the gospel there? What a great way to go. I mean, what's to say one day I get up there in heaven there, I'm looking around the throne of God and the saints, and I see Satan in the corner. Hey, brother, how you doing? I'm doing well. How you doing? Hey, this is great up here. How do you make your way up here, by the way? Oh, tripped and fell off a building and killed myself. Oh, that's rough, man. How about yourself, he asked me. Well, martyr. What can I say? You know, I mean, think about it. That'd be a great thing. But what if I had gone that night? What if I had gone and I get up there and that same fellow said, sissy, okay. See, I don't want that to happen. You understand? Heaven is watching. The Lord is calling. He would have you to be a witness. And here in verse 2, someone needs to be saved. They say, we'd be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we fear not? Are you scared? Now look at verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, because of the fear of David's men, he's forced to inquire of the Lord yet again. He says, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I go down to Kyle? He says, no, go back to the hold. No, he didn't say that. The Lord is not as fickle as we are. He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach. He says, no. Down to the ship, into the sea, storm. They throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by a fish. 3 days and three nights later, he's puked up on the beach, and he's not looking his best. And the Lord says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. After all that, yeah, go to Nineveh. You see, the Lord is not as fickle as we are. The Lord said, Robert, go to Germany. Well, how about now? Okay, go to Russia. No, the Lord's not like that. There is somebody to be saved in this town. You say, well, I mean, I'm across the street. Well, you know what? I'm across the parking lot. Well, you know what? I'm the next one in line, but there's one right behind me. You know, you understand, the Lord is calling people to salvation, but he's calling his ministers to give those people that gospel. You're to be light bearers. You say, I'm scared. So are these men. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 5. To their credit, they went with David. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. You see, David, in the picture of Jesus Christ, he's the one that does the saving. He's a captain. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. But to their credit, they went with David, though they were scared. This is a point I want to bring up to you. It's never wrong, as Bob Jones Sr. said, to follow any man on the right road at any distance. Now, if you start following any man on the wrong road any distance, that's a problem. But following any man on the right road any distance. It's all right to follow a man. Now, I believe a lot of Christians need to. I understand a lot of people have it in their mind this. It's just not my personality. I'm not the guy who just naturally gets into people's faces or just upsets people's afternoons with the gospel or tracts or just whatever. I'm just not like that. Some people are just stand-up people. When they get saved, that's kind of how they are. I'm not like that. I'll let them have at it. I'm going to say this tonight, this statement here. It's wrong to stop at, I'm scared, therefore I can't. But you say, but look, that's a big step. I know. But this is what I'm going to say. Some of you need to follow a man. These people followed David. Those scared, they would not have gone if David weren't there. But to the credit, they're saying, look, we'll follow him in. He's the bold one. We'll follow him in. He's the captain. And they followed him. Later on, these men are called David's mighty men. These scared people here. They're given accommodations for their mighty acts in battle and such. One of this group one day said this, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Pretty bold statement. That man right there is facing two armies and David's not with them. Now he's saying things like this, hey man, let's go get him. Let's play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. The Lord do that which seemeth him good. Pretty bold statement. What had changed? What had changed in the interim? This man here that was scared back there when he's hiding away from Saul and the Philistines come and attack the land, what had changed? He had followed a man. That produced boldness in the man. Now the Lord sees that. He's not going to beat you over the head because once you get saved or once you start getting around to realizing people need the gospel, you start getting around the idea that, okay, gospel tracts work and I know the gospel, I know some verses. He's not going to beat you over the head because you're not Johnny on the spot and like some other people you may see, they're very bold witnesses for the Lord. He realizes some people need to follow a man. He had Paul say this, hey, be followers of me even as I am also of Christ Jesus. It's not wrong to follow a man. Some of you need to follow a man. Why? Because you're fearful and you can't take that step into it by yourself. You say, but follow a man, yeah, what does that entail? Simple stuff. You understand? Boldness is the key when it comes to witnessing. That's something I learned. I learned a lot of things down there in Pensacola. It got me to a lot more witness than I ever was in Oregon there. I was in Oregon. I was the only guy I knew that passed out tracts or really that was all about wanting to get the witness out. I didn't have any Bible-believing friends. I met my first Bible believer 3 months before I came to Pensacola. 3 years of Bible believer. Didn't know any. Moved to Pensacola, and there's ministries everywhere, and there's men that teach me a lot of things. I had a lot of opportunities going out, but over the years, I learned that boldness is the key. He said, I'm not bold. You're not going to be an effective witness. But you can be bold, just like these men eventually were. They didn't need a whole army. They just needed a couple hundred men. They can whip an army. They got bold enough to face them. Why? They followed David. They followed David. I'm at the job site one day, and I'm hammering up something. I work for an electrical company, and I'm the only guy from PBI at the time at the job site, and I'm the only car out there with Bible stickers all over it, and this guy comes on the job site there, a plumber or a framer or somebody, and he says, any of those PBI guys around here? You know, he saw the car outside, and I said, yeah, that's me. I'm that PBI guy. Now, I'm not going to fight. That's not what I hear. I'm not going to fight. But I realized a long time ago, if somebody asks your profession, take a step forward. I'm serious. If someone says, are you that? You say, yeah, I'm that. Not to fight, a step of boldness. you just stay put, it's like you're taking, you're going back. Yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's what I found. And that same guy who said that, I said, oh, yeah, I'm not a PBI guy. He just, okay, yeah, that's interesting, you know. He was going to say something smart, but just that body language is a step of boldness. He realized, hey, this man's ready to go. They'll really want to get into a protracted argument with this guy? I was in Fort Walton Beach, and there's four Marines trotting down the street there. It was at night one time, not Fort Walton, sorry, Mobile, Alabama. And this is kind of a usual thing. I see four light bulbs coming at me. What is that? You know, they look at that. Because today they have what's called cosmetic bodybuilding, where you focus on here up and from here down suffers. I mean, their legs are smaller than mine. It's kind of, they're walking, and then you give them a gentle shove. They fall right over. But they're four big old light bulbs walking in the street and one little me. And I wait till they get about 20 feet away, and I go, hey, you guys, God-fearing men? And they have 20 feet to close the distance to think about what to do. Now, I know a man. He says, you know, I'd be a coward. We're four guys against one. I mean, he just called us out. If we kept walking, we'd be cowards. We've got to stop and say something. That's what they did. They stopped right in front of me, and I started witnessing, dealing with them one by one, one by one. I'm just dealing with them, and they're getting nervous. They're shaking. One guy eventually said, hey, you're kind of bold out here doing this, aren't you? So, yeah, the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And that guy goes, oh, we're wicked. We're wicked. I didn't say it. But understand that is what's needed in a witness. You say, I'm not bold. Okay. Start there. Hey, I can't do it my own. Great. You can't be the captain. Okay. At least you define your position. You know, in war, there need to be captains. There need to be sergeants. There need to be whatever. Corporals need to be privates. But you need to follow somebody into the battle. I'm trying to say it's wrong to stop it. I'm scared, therefore I can't witness. Follow a man into the battle, that will produce boldness. Look, I've seen this. I've seen a man say, hey, look, I'm scared. I can't talk to people. Look, can I follow you on visitation? He finds a preacher, somebody he knows is bold. Can I follow you on visitation? I won't say a thing. I'm just going to stand there. You do all the talking. That's following a man into the battle. He said, that isn't much. Oh, great. So, see you next Thursday. All right? That is following a man into the battle, not taking the lead. Not being the man that's really doing most of the warfare, or any of the warfare perhaps. You're just standing there. But I've seen that, and I've heard of it. And every single time, eventually that man who's standing there door after door after door, and they're witnessing, and they're getting words in there, and they're talking, eventually, you know, I'm saved too, I was saved, and here we go. Boldness is produced. Then he's like, hey man, you want to go soul winning? What happened to you? But that was a man who was willing to admit he was scared, and he followed a man that was bold. It produces old boldness. Now he's walking alone. Another way to say, hey, look, preacher, I've got a family that's not exactly very easy to deal with. That's pretty rough. I understand dealing with family. Can I invite you over to my house? Look, I'm not going to say anything. Can I invite you over? I'll just sit back and watch the fireworks. You know, sometimes all a preacher needs is an open door. Certain people he can't get into the reach. But if you've got the door and the key, you can let him in. Okay, I'm going to take a break, go back in the den. That's following a man into the battle. You say, that's not much. That's right. But that will produce boldness. It produced boldness in these men. And eventually these people were saved. But I'll close with this. Look back at verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. In Judah. You know the men with David right here are from Benjamin and Judah? Benjamin and Judah's land were landlocked there. They're together. They're in their home area. We be afraid here at home. Are you afraid at home? Amongst your family members? Your relatives? See, I've been talking about witnessing to strangers. What about your family? Hell, that's rough stuff, isn't it? Tell me about it. My family, good night. My Harley Davidson biker chick grandma, I mean, seriously, she was pregnant with my mother and in labor, and she drove the hospital on her Harley. I go to witness to her, and before I can even get to the gospel, she's cussing me when I'm just going through formalities. That's my grandma, my grandpa, my aunts and uncles, my cousins. It's rough witnessing the family. They know everything about you, don't they? Oh, I know what you did that one time. Don't be all big Christian now. I've left you alone when you didn't say anything, but now you're saying, I understand all that. But you know, Jesus Christ, he pretty much leveled the playing field, if you think about it. One day your family's going to stand, your unsaved loved ones are going to stand before the Lord God Almighty in their sin, those that aren't saved. He will not spare them. If you think about it, Isaiah 53, the premier chapter on the sufferings of Christ, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's Jesus Christ. Who? Oh, that son whom the Lord called down from heaven on several occasions, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The Father loved the Son, hath given all things into his hand. His pride and joy, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. On judgment day, a sinner, not a sinless man, a sinner in his filthy rags before God Almighty, the Lord won't shed a tear, he won't bat an eye, to quote that Bible. Cursed. Cursed into everlasting fire. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him out in everlasting darkness. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, or smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever. He won't bat an eye because they're sinners that rejected Jesus Christ. Souls are at stake. He said, well, I'm scared. Is it really worth your fear that they go to hell? Is it worth your comfort, that is? Is your comfort worth their soul? He said, I'm scared. Okay, follow man into that battle. It's wrong to stop at, I'm scared, therefore I can't. That's all I'm saying. You should follow a man if you're in that spot right now. Now, I witnessed to my family time and time again. My grandpa, I had a burden for him. The more I witnessed to him, my dad's dad, the more that burden grew. I didn't want him to go to hell. The more I witnessed and tried and he rejected it, the more I just, man, I hope he doesn't go to hell. And I keep witnessing. The last time I tried, he kept saying on the phone, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. And he hung up. He died not long after that. It was the day before Thanksgiving 2010. And got the phone call the day before, the day of. And it says, Grandpa died today, the day before Thanksgiving. And right then, peace flooded my soul. You know what? I was expecting that one day when some other family members would die, that I would have to console myself. You know, probably you did your best. You know, just come on, you did your best. You did what you thought was right. And, you know, pick up and keep going. But I didn't have to do that. I tried again and again to witness to my grandma, witness to my grandpa, trying to see him saved, and he never got saved. He rejected Jesus Christ to the end, and he's in hell right now. But when I got that phone call, grandpa died. Peace flooded my soul. It was from the Lord. I didn't have to console myself. The Lord gave me peace. You're not going to get that peace if you don't try. Not if you go through 1, 2, 3 prayer after me, or let me give you the whole God. I mean, I'm talking about getting into the battle somehow. Doing the small part of at least following somebody into that battle. Understand that's what's at stake. That's what's at stake. Their souls. The same thing happened with my dad almost a whole year later. My dad had a massive heart attack last year in November. It was 6 days before Thanksgiving. Almost on the birthday of his dad's death. And my dad, I had the greatest burden for him. I lived with him for most of my adolescent years there, all my adolescent years, most of my childhood years there. Got right with the Lord. I've been trying to witness to him ever since, and he won't have it. Then all of a sudden, he has this heart attack, and they say he's not going to make it. He's going to be dead before you get here. But peace flooded my soul. That big old burden and tears and all those hours of weeping and wanting my dad to be saved, it's like all of a sudden now it's all right. And I didn't feel bad at all. My grandpa, I hadn't felt bad since. The good, I guess the happy end of the story is my Lord spared my dad there. The Lord spared my dad. Resurrected him from the dead. He's definitely rethinking some things right now. He's close, perhaps, right now, closer than he's ever been to salvation. But you know what? I wouldn't receive that peace had I not witnessed to my Father. If you're scared, just admit it. Say, I'm not one of those bold people. Say, I need to follow a man. You should. Look out among yourselves, somebody who you know that, hey, this guy is a stand-up witness. He's bold. He could perhaps, you know, get this witness in. Perhaps I can follow him into whatever battle and follow. Eventually, you'll be bold enough to witness yourself if you keep on it. Keep on standing there with your mouth shut, following the man in visitation, inviting people over, joining with other Christians. Understand, that is what you're called to do, be a light bearer. You don't have to be fearful for the rest of your life. You don't have to be scared as you are and always kick yourself for not witnessing. You could be that witness. Just as the example was here, you could be that witness. You know what? And you'll start to see it. The Lord will start saving people. And you'll be doing what you're called to do. And you'll be unashamed being a light bearer for Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like that? Are you scared? Father, bless these folks as they consider these things, Lord. I love all Christians, Lord. I love these folks here that they were faithful to come out and hear the words. Definitely they're attentive here. Father, bless them, Father, as they hear these words, Lord. Put it in their hearts and minds, Father, just to do...